नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, verses 4 through 11. So I'll just read the Sanskrit myself because there's a lot of verses, and we have a presentation today also. Naimishe nimisha kshatre vishaya shanakadaya satram sagaya lokaya sahasa samamasata. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Once, in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages, headed by the sage Shonaka, assembled to perform a great thousand-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees.
Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langhate girim yakipam yamham vande shri gurum dinatarinam.
Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, gives us a nice introduction and a review of our last three verses of Mangalacharan, which we have been discussing. In the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, the prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous three shlokas. Now the main topic of this great literature is being presented. So we heard yesterday how Srila Vyasadeva is inviting us to taste this ripened fruit, or the juice, of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya also, he also tasted this fruit and he distributed it. So in this way we see how the great souls, how the Lord, how Lord Chaitanya is teaching us to perform devotional service, but not to forget others also, not to forget the suffering humanity. At the end of the purport of text 4, Srila Prabhupada explains how the purpose of Bhagavatam is to wake up the sleeping people to spiritual life. At the end, Prabhupada says, in this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. So we will hear in the verses today how the sages of Naimisharanya, they are asking questions in the same mood of compassion for the fallen souls. Just like Vyasadeva gave us benedictions for if we will simply hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gave us benedictions in the purport if we simply agree to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So these sages, they're simply concerned, their first two questions. In their first two questions, we will see the concern of the sages for the suffering humanity. So the story of Bhagavatam, actually I have this old Bhagavatam of Prabhupada starts it once, instead of once in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, Prabhupada says, once upon a time. Once upon a time. So he starts many of his verses like that, once upon a time. So I guess it's too often heard, so therefore it was changed to once. Anyway, once upon a time, the sages sat down in the forest of Naimisharanya. It's Animisha Kshetre. It's a holy place. Place of Vishnu who doesn't close his eyes. And we'll hear more about that later. As Prabhupada explained in the purport, this forest of Naimisharanya is the hub of the universe. And there's a great wheel, and the hub of the wheel is at Naimisharanya. So that's why they wanted to sit there. It's a very holy place. And the purpose of their sacrifice was Svargaya and Lokaya, as we see in the Sanskrit, for the pleasure of Krishna, who is glorified in Svarga, that is Svargaya. Lokaya means the people. Prabhupada translated as the devotees of the Lord, Loka. So we are also in the hub of the universe here, the spiritual universe, Vrindavan. So we are also in the holy place, and we are also going to sit like the sages for 4.5 months to hear Bhagavatam. In paragraph 4, also again, Prabhupada explains how the sages are so concerned. Prabhupada says that they know it well how difficult the sage of Kali. Therefore, For the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities. At the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. This is the purport, for the welfare of the people, pleasure of the Lord, pleasure of devotees. All the questions of Maharaj Pariksit, all the questions of Vidura are for this purpose. So our sacrifice should also have a purpose, as we discussed in the first day, the opening ceremony, that we want to please Krishna, we want to please the devotees, and help the people. So we are also hoping that the Lord will appear in our sacrifice, as he does in the pages of Bhagavatam. As it is said, I believe in the Padma Purana, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hrideshu va. Tatra tishtami narada, tatra gayanti madhubhakta. Krishna says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the hearts of the yogis who think they see me there. But actually, where I am is where the devotees are chanting and hearing my glories. So this is our great desire that Krishna will appear here in our sacrifice. So one may wonder, how is it possible? These sages, they must be, they're sitting off in the forest discussing Bhagavatam, and for the peace of society, for the benefit of the whole world. How is it possible? They're just off, we're off here in Vrindavan, we're just sitting and discussing Bhagavatam. What's the benefit for the whole world? What is the benefit of, what's the use of this sacrifice? I'm asking you, learned devotees, Madan Gopal Prabhu. Yes. Therefore, attracts his mercy. And when Krishna is pleased, everyone's pleased, because he's the root of the tree. Anything else? Darshan. Power of the demons will be curtailed. Yes. We are also hoping by this sacrifice that the power of the demons will be curtailed. Yes. Adipurush Prabhu. Okay, the vibrations will reverberate throughout the whole universe. So our vibrations also, we are hoping, will reverberate and will have a change in the universal situation. So that's very nice, yes. It's very relevant. The six Goswamis, they were here in Vrindavan. They were sitting on a different tree every night. They were living, sleeping under a different tree every night. But look, the contribution that they gave to humanity. So many wonderful books. So Prabhupada, when he was here in 1972, I also came for his lectures. He was lecturing on, actually, Bhagavatam, this second chapter, and also Nectar of Devotion. And he was describing the scene at Radhadamara Temple with the six Goswamis. He was saying they were sitting in the courtyard and they were discussing Bhagavatam. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was reciting Bhagavatam, and Rupa Sanatan, others, they were listening. And Jiva Goswami was sitting and writing Krishna Sandarbha. So Prabhupada was describing the scene, what was happening. And he said that in this way, the whole Krishna consciousness movement was started, just sitting, six Goswamis sitting and discussing together. So Srila Prabhupada also, he sat here at Radha Damodar 30 years ago discussing Bhagavatam. And before that, he sat in Radha Damodar and he wrote the first and second canto of Bhagavatam, and he brought them on the boat with him. So here is one of the Bhagavatams that Prabhupada brought on the boat with him to America. This is the first part of the first canto. Actually, he only brought the first canto. He printed the first canto, so it was in three volumes like this. This was the jacket showing the material world, the spiritual world, and all the different incarnations. These are not incarnations. These are the leaders of the Vaikuntha planets with all their names. So this is what Srila Prabhupada brought. I'll just read you a brief excerpt from the purport to this fourth verse, which was not included in this purport, but I think it's very sweet. So it's in the third paragraph, which you won't find. Pardon me? I don't know. Editor. The word animisha means without any twinkling of the eyelids. And this is a special prerogative of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, it indicates Lord Vishnu, who has always offered all kinds of sacrifices just to please him and thereby to please all his... So Prabhupada's English was quite different. He said the eyes were twinkling instead of blinking. So we know that Vishnu, he does not blink his eyes. Prabhupada said he has that prerogative. We don't. But he doesn't. So this is a special place of Lord Vishnu, and I'm Sharanya. And now we will hear more how the sages are going to worship Suta Goswami. Ekada tu munaya patta huta huta ganaya satkitam sutam asinam papacha idam adarat. Translation. One day, after finishing their morning duties, by burning a sacrificial fire and offering a seat of esteem to Srila Suta Goswami, the great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following. So Prabhupada says in the purport, you don't have to look it up. Morning is the best time to hold spiritual service. So we also follow that. Srila Vyasadeva, if he used to get up early in the morning, go sit down on the bank of the Saraswati and perform his sadhana. What was his sadhana? Meditation. The sages, they sat down, they did their sadhana, they finished their sadhana, fire sacrifice, and then they sat down to hear Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna, he used to get up, do his sadhana in Dwaraka, and then he would meditate on himself. So I'd like to read you about Kardama Muni, because he had a very, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport on how to do your morning duties. This is third canto, 21st verse, 21st chapter, verses 45 to 47. So here's the purport. Srila Prabhupada explains, you see, first of all, we have the Sanskrit words in this verse, huta, hutagnaya, in verse 5. Now, verses in the third canto, the words are very similar. It's huta, huta, hutashana, hutashana. So Prabhupada explains that Kardama Muni, he was a brahmachari, and he was offering oblations. So Prabhupada writes, those engaged in brahmacharya, so we have many brahmacharis here, cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They must rise early in the morning, at least 1.5 hours before the sun rises, and offer oblations. Or in this age, Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna, holy name of the Lord. So that's our sacrifice. As Lord Chaitanya says, kalo nishteva, nishteva, nishteva. No other sacrifice than chanting in this age. So Prabhupada says the brahmachari must rise early in the morning and after placing himself should chant the holy name of the Lord. So we have performed our sadhana. We've gotten up from Mangalarti, hopefully, and we've chanted our rounds. Now we're sitting to hear Bhagavatam. So we are following in the footsteps. Prabhupada didn't make this up. This is actually our tradition. This is a tradition of Vyasadeva, of even Lord Krishna. Get up early, perform your morning duties, and then we hear Bhagavatam. So in the purport of verse 5, Suta Goswami has some qualifications, that he is a Goswami, and he is also representative of Vyas, so therefore he can speak. So the speaker has a responsibility not to concoct or deviate, but to follow previous acharyas. Prabhupada, in the purport, also mentioned the responsibility of the hearers. Who can tell me what is the responsibility of the hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam? Lila Madhuri. Attentive, submissive, non-challenging what? Hearing non-challenging? Questions, yes. Great job for the speaker and the subject matter, okay? So let us try to find the truth. This is what we want. If we hear properly, if we speak properly, then we'll taste the fruit of Bhagavatam. So verse 6, more qualifications of the speaker. Vishaya uchutaya kalu paranani sittiha sanichanaga akhyatanya pyatitani tarmashastani anyata. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well-versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. So three more qualifications. He's free from vice. He knows the Puranas and histories and Dharma Shastras. He has heard and explained the knowledge. So you can keep track here on your little chart. Histories and Puranas are up there under Smriti. So this is, and Dharma Shastras is also under Smriti Sutras. Of course, there could be the religious scriptures. So Puranas, Itihasas, this is what Sutta knows, and this is what his father taught him, as we'll learn later on in the fourth chapter. So very important, in purport of verse 6, Srila Prabhupada says, A very important statement here. After first he says the acharya or Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is shravana, explaining is kirtana. So these are of primary importance. We can maybe discuss this very briefly for a couple of minutes. What does this mean, that hearing and explaining is more important than reading? I'll take one volunteer, Maharaj. Okay, so you have to be able to understand it to explain it. Yeah, another place Prabhupada said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So he said, if you're going to do Kirtanam, you have to have Smaranam. You have to be thinking, meditating on the subject also. I'll just take one more. Madan Gopal Prabhu, did you have something? Okay, yes. Right, you clarify. That's right. From the book, you can't ask. I mean, most people can't ask questions, but most people can't ask questions and get the answers. Okay, I'll have one. Okay, one more. Yashoda Mataji. They did a study on how much people assimilate. Most learners assimilate 10% of what they read, 30% of what they hear and see. Okay, 60% of what they hear and see, and 90% of what they do. So this is in the material world. Okay, for your information. I think we have to go on now because we have a presentation today. So anything, you keep it for after class, and you can bring it up. Write down your questions and your comments, and we'll just continue. Hari Bol. Okay. So my answer to this question, why hearing and explaining is more important, I answer with a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is third canto, 25th, chapter 25th, verse, Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido. So Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido. This means that the topics of Krishna in the association of devotees are very, very powerful, very potent. Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido. So what happens when you discuss in the association of devotees, when you explain, when you hear and chant, Pavanti Hrid Karna Rasayana Kataha, that it enters your ear and goes to your heart. And it is rasayan. In India, there are many types of rasayan, tonics. Brahma rasayan for the brain. Other rasayans for the blood. So now we have our Bhagavat rasayan, or Bhagavat ras. And we drink it through the ears, and it goes to the heart. And we get a change of heart. As Krishna is pleased, and he throws out all the dirt from our heart. We'll hear this next week in chapter 2. So then, Bhavanti Hitkarna Rasayana Kata Tajoshanat Ap Yapavarga Vartmani. So very swiftly, you will progress on the path from Shada to Rati to Prem. If you actually discuss in the association of devotees. Discussing means you share your realizations, you hear, you explain, and then you get realization also. So text 7, we will hear some more. And I think in text 6, the 6 darshans were mentioned. And if you want to know more about the 6 darshans, you can consult Bhagavatam 10, 10th canto, 87th chapter, verse 25. And then you'll find out. 10, 80. There's a wonderful, brilliant analysis by Hridayanand of the 6 darshans, whether the faults in them, how we defeat them, and also what are the good things that we use in our Vaishnava tradition from the 6 darshans. How they're also good. So it's a very nice analysis, and you can get it in one purport in the 10th canto. 10, 87, 25. We don't have time to go into it today because. No, this has to do with the 6 darshans. I just went back. It says 6 darshans. Verse 7. Yani Veda Vidam Shresto Bhagavan Vararayana Anye Chamunaya Sutta Paravara Vido Vidu. Being the eldest learned Vedantist, O Sutta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadeva, whose incarnation of Godhead. You also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. Oh, it's this verse. This verse is the 6 darshans, yeah, including Vedanta Sutta. So it's verse 7. Yes. In verse 7, Srila Prabhupada discusses in the purport about the 6 darshans. And Prabhupada says in the purport, one could sit on the Vyasasan only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy, so that one could present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defiance of all other systems. So Prabhupada wanted us to learn the philosophy so that we could preach, so that we could be able to meet all kinds of opposition. In a lecture in 1975, he was talking about the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas got defeated by the Vishnudutas. So then they went to Yamaraj and said, you know, what's this? You know, we thought you're the supreme. Somebody higher than you. And so they didn't know the philosophy, actually. So then Yamaraj had to preach to them, no, Narayan is higher than me. So Prabhupada said, we should know the philosophy because the servant may be challenged. Somebody may ask, you're reading, are you just selling the books? You know what's in the book? Are you reading the books? So we have to know the philosophy. So in the audience of Naimisharanya, there were so many different sages who believed in different philosophies. So Sutta had to speak in a way that was relevant for everyone. So he knew the six darshans. And if you also want to know the six darshans, you can check 10th canto and you can read about the six darshans. Darshan means to see the truth. Darshan, to see, have darshan. So they're different. These are different. They have different ideas about what is the truth. Or somebody who knows Sanskrit, they can also explain this word better. Darshan means to see, as far as I understand. What? Vision. Vision. To have vision. Vision. Okay? Su darshan. Sweet, beautiful vision. Okay? So verse 8. How is it possible for Sutta Goswami to know so much? The answer is given in verse 8. Vetatam samyatat sarvam tatvatastad anugrahat bruyu snigdashishishasya guruvo guyamapyuta. Because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. So this is the key for opening the door to higher levels of realization. Key is, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, chanadapi sunichena, tororiva sahishuna, humility. Because if you're not humble, how can you learn anything? Someone says, oh yeah, I know. Okay, why should I teach him? You have to approach the spiritual master in a humble mood. There's a story in Vrindavan about Sanatan Rupa Goswami, that one Digvijaya means conqueror of all directions. He came to challenge Rupa and Sanatan Goswami in debate. So he came to Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Sanatan Goswami asked him, what do you want? So the man said, I just want you to sign this paper that I defeated you. He said, okay, no problem, I signed the paper. You go. So then Jiva Goswami got upset. He unfairly defeated my guru, so then he went and he challenged the Digvijaya and he defeated him. So the point is that if you approach the guru like Sanatan Goswami in a challenging mood, you will not get any knowledge. So he got nothing. He got the piece of paper. He got his autograph. But that was all he got. He got the autograph of Sanatan Goswami. But he was not going to use it in the proper way. So we have to be submissive. Somya Snigdashya, I know Maharaj knows how to explain this very nicely, and after the lecture we'll ask him to enlighten us on these words. Snigdashya and Somya means to be very simple, submissive, gentle. And if you're like this, your guru will notice you. Not if you push yourself forward that, you know, I do this, I want to do this service, I'm like this. And he'll say, okay, do what you want. But it'll be very difficult to get the mercy. So we have to want the mercy, just like Sutta. He was very eager. And he was very, and we'll hear how Narada Muni, this was Narada's qualification for getting the mercy from the Bhaktivedantas. So verse 9, the sages will ask their first question. Tat-tat-tat-tranjasa-yushman bhavatayad-vinishchitam pungsam ekantata-sheyas-tanna-shanchitum arahasi. Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. So here there's a Sanskrit word, ayushman, means blessed with many years. So Sutta had a blessing. Who gave, how did he get this blessing? Ayushman, many, many years. There's a story behind it. Does anybody know? Rishi Vrindavan knows the story. Okay, I'll just repeat so everyone can hear. Rama Harshana Sutta, his father, was killed by Balaram for this actual reason of not being submissive. Right. Right, okay. So the father had the benediction of Ayushman. Ayushman. And so then the sages got really upset with Balaram. You know, why? We gave him this benediction. You killed him? And so Balaram said, okay, no problem. I'll bring him back to life. They said, no. What you did, we don't want to nullify what you did, but just make sure that the benediction is still there. So only Balaram could solve this problem. And he said, yes, okay, the son is the representative of the father. So therefore we give the benediction to Sutta, to Goswami. So he has Ayushman, blessed with many years. So the sages were in knowledge. Actually, they could see the future. Sages, Shonaka. They could see the problems that Kali Yuga was going to bring, the degradation of society, the influence, the lower modes. And they wanted to do something to stop it. So actually, there are many people who can see the future. Go to astrologer, go to psychic. They'll tell you the future. But what can they do to stop it? What can they do to change it? The sages can... This is the qualification of the great Mahatmas, the devotees. Not only do they see the future, they do something to change the future. So this is what the sages are interested. They want to somehow counteract Kali Yuga. They see Kali Yuga's coming. What can we do? They weren't just sitting, oh, anyway, it's just our karma. It's just resign to your fate. Let's resign ourselves to our fate. Kali Yuga's coming. What to do? So, no, they wanted to change it. So somebody who is in knowledge, the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, they have a responsibility to society to do something, to change the direction of society, if it's going to hell, especially. So they're asking here, you tell us ekantata, one thing. Don't tell us 10, 11, 100 things. One thing only we want to know. Because in this age, nobody can remember all these things. We want the best thing. Don't tell us the step by step by step. We want the best thing for the people. Ekantata Shreya, the best benefit for the people. So Sutta, and they said also it has to be easy, Anjasa. Can't be difficult. Because nobody is qualified. We'll hear actually in the next verse how nobody is qualified in this age. So it's a problem to penetrate the mystery of bhakti that's hidden in the Vedas. So there's a verse in Mahabharata spoken by Yudhisthira, Tarko Pratishtha Shutayo Vibhina. It describes the difficulties in this age, or in any age actually, especially in Kali Yuga. It's very difficult to find the truth simply by dry argument, logic, by argument. You will not be able to find the truth. Tarko Pratishtha Shutayo Vibhina. And if you study all the Vedas, you cannot find, very difficult to find it too. There's so many Vedas, we'll hear this in the 11th verse, so many different scriptures, you'll just get bewildered. Then, Nasav Rishir Yasya Matam Nabhinam, there's so many sages, so many philosophers, they each have a different philosophy. How will you find the truth? So where is the truth? Where do we find the truth? Tarmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhayam, in the heart of the purity. That's where the truth is found. In the heart of the pure devotee. Because they have Krishna in their heart. Only they have Krishna. That's where Krishna is, actually. So there's a nice story about this. And therefore, oh, it's the last line. Mahajano yenakata sapanta. Therefore, you should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Srila Prabhupada, when he was here in India in the early 1970s, there was one small girl, Malati's daughter, Saraswati. So Saraswati had this little deity of Krishna. She used to have it always with her, very attached to this deity. So one time she put it down in the room, she went out of the room. Prabhupada was there, he stole her Krishna deity, put it behind his back. So then she came back and she was looking, oh, where's my Krishna? Where's my Krishna? She was in great anxiety. So the point Prabhupada was actually trying to prove to this judge whose house he was in was what is separation of Krishna. So she was, oh, where's my Krishna? Where's my Krishna? There's another point we can get from this story also. Because then her mother, Malati, said to her, who has Krishna? And she opened her eyes, she looked at Prabhupada. Prabhupada has Krishna. She went and said, give me Krishna. And he gave her Krishna. Yes, from behind the back, here. Here's Krishna. So it's a fact. Prabhupada has Krishna. And he's giving it to her. Krishna she tomar, Krishna dihe paro. Tomara Shakyachi. You have the power to give Krishna. You have Krishna, and you can give Krishna to us. That was Prabhupada's wonderful blessing. He's giving us Krishna in so many forms. So now we'll see why the sages are asking the question only for the best thing, not second best, not third best. Prashanta, you can just... I think this is one of the verses you have to learn. Very important verse, verse 10. Payena payusa sabya kalavas menyugejana manda suhana matayo manda bhagya yupadutaha. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Disqualifications of the people in this age, including us, short lives. Why? Prabhupada said it's not because of insufficient food, but irregular habits. This shortens your life. Irregular habits. And then he says also overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. So one thing some of you may have experienced, if you work on computer all day, you feel sapped. You feel like your energy is just taken away from you. It's artificial living. Just like my son, he's on the computer from... All he does is eat, sleep, and go on the computer. And that's his life. And he's always tired. When he's not on the computer, he's tired. So anyway, this is an example, but we can see this is how it is. So the sages, they're asking for the benefit of these of us, fallen conditioned souls, quarrelsome, always fighting. I heard that there are 44 wars going on now in the world. Maybe it's increased. That was a month ago. It's probably 45 or 46 by now. Who knows? But this is the state of affairs. We almost had one here in India. Almost. Manda, lazy, slow, bad. Nobody wants spiritual life. They'll work very hard for their material life. But spiritual life, they think, well, you know, it's just, should come naturally. I don't need a guru. You know? There's so many philosophies, New Age philosophies. I'm all right, you're all right. We're all right. We're all God. So then, Sumanda Matayo. So generally, people aren't interested. They won't even bother to inquire, who am I, or what is the goal of life? And if they do inquire, if they have some interest, then Sumanda Matayo. They're misguided, misled. So many cheaters come to cheat. Actually, it just came to my mind, one of the cheaters. Before I was a devotee, I was going around looking for a guru, actually. And I met, there was one. He was a young boy, and he was supposed to be God, Bhagavan. And so what happened was, actually, I never made it to his class. But later on, when I was here in India, I heard that he ran off with his secretary. And so then his mother said, he's not God anymore, now his brother's God. So this is the state of affairs, incarnations. And if you're not misled, then you're unfortunate. Manda bhagya, unlucky, disturbed, vipaduta. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I've made it so easy, chanting a holy name. Everybody can chant. Prabhupada says, even the dog can take part in the chanting. Even the dog. And I've seen dogs, actually, not chanting, but following the Harinam. So Prabhupada was very merciful. So, but we have no attraction. This is the problem. In the 12th canto, second chapter, in the beginning, from maybe first verse, from many verses, there is a description of the problems of Kali Yuga. Religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, memory will diminish day by day. So memory, previously everyone could remember everything they heard once, and now we can from the beginning of the day, or from the day before. It says, Vittam eva kalau ninam janmachara gonodaya, that if someone has money or wealth, this is a sign of good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities. If you just have money, this means you're cultured in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada, when he was staying in John Lennon's house in 1969, there in his living room, there was a picture of John Lennon and his wife completely naked. And Prabhupada commented on this. He said, just see the culture. He's so low class. But all these reporters are coming to him and asking him very important questions about politics, about economics, about the world situation. So because he has money, simply because he has money, then he's considered high class. Then dharma nyaya vyavasthayam karanam balam eva hi. Justice will be on the basis of one's power. Might means right in Kali Yuga. These are the predictions. Anyway, I don't want to say the Sanskrit again. You just look it up in the 12th canto, chapter 2, in the beginning. It's all in there. So then business will depend on deceit. Here's a good one. Vipratve sutram eva hi. A man will be known as a Brahmin just by wearing a thread. When I used to live in Goa for 5 years, and I used to drive a moped. So when I would get my moped, I would take it for servicing. There was one person who worked there. He had a Brahmin thread, and he was working on all the motorcycles the whole day, and he was covered with grease from head to foot. And people were saying, Panditji, and I was, Panditji, could you fix my motorcycle? Anyway, this is a symptom. It's just what Bhagavatam is saying. You have a thread, you're a Brahmin. This is Kali Yuga. We also have rickshawalas in Calcutta. So this is the state of affairs, Kali Yuga. Lingam evashama kyatav. A person's spiritual position will be determined by his dress. If you're wearing saffron, if you have matted locks, you will get great respect in India. Matted locks especially. Great yogi. So someone told me this story about one time they were in Kumbh Mela, and there was this guy with some huge matted locks, and he was begging. And so someone went to give him a donation, and it fell on the ground. He went to pick it up, and then when he stooped over, his whole matted locks fell on the ground. So then he was exposed. He wasn't a sadhu. Anyway, the things that are going on in this age of Kali. So many things. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement, and now not even that. Even worse than what Bhagavatam says. Dure vyaryayanam tirtham. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water. And we see people, they go in Calcutta, the Ganga is running. Prabhupada said, Ganga is running through Calcutta, people will go to Hardware from Calcutta to bathe in the Ganga. And Ganga's right there. They'll go up to Rishikesh, Hardwar. One time I went up there for the summer. And the ritual is you go to the holy place, you go have your bath, then you get your picture taken, the whole family, and then you go and eat at one of the places. This was what I observed was going on at these holy places. You think going on pilgrimage means to take a bath. You go there and have your bath. Yes, I've been to Rishikesh. Actually, you're supposed to inquire from the sadhus. Lavanyam keshadharanam, long hair is very beautiful, that we can see. So, and the last one, I'll tell you, udaram bharata swartha. Filling the belly is the goal of life. This is Kali Yuga. Very, very difficult time. So that's why the sages are asking their questions. And the last question, verse 11, same purpose. Burini puri karmani shatta vyani vipagashata satota yatsaram sumutita manishaya bruhi padraya bhutanam yenatma supasirati. There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully set. So again, they understand the condition of the people, short lives. We need the essence. We need the essence of the scriptures. So this we will get in the next chapter. We'll get the answer to these two questions. Savaipungsam parotarmo. The essence is bhakti. So we will hear this, Shutayo Vibhinam, so many scriptures, we can't understand the essence. So actually the essence of the scriptures, we'll hear more about this tomorrow. Also the sages will give us a hint on the essence of the scriptures. We'll hear about two of the most powerful forms of devotional service, chanting the holy name and serving the devotees. So we are also doing that. We're hearing Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, chanting in the morning, in the holy dham, in Vrindavan, and doing deity worship in the morning, in our morning program. So hopefully we will also get the benefit, the essence. So we see throughout Bhagavatam how bhakti, as Sutta Goswami will explain, bhakti is the only means of helping humanity. When Vyasadeva had his vision, he saw the suffering living entities, and he knew the only solution is bhakti. So Bhagavatam is relevant, is speaking to our times. I'd just like to end the class today by bringing up something that Prabhupada said in London in 1973. He said that it's very, very difficult to uplift the people of this age. Very difficult. And he quoted, Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhakya. That people, they don't understand. Very, very fortunate person will understand, I am eternal. Only a very fortunate person. Simply sense gratification. So Prabhupada said, we're trying, even we see in our ISKCON, in our Krishna consciousness, devotees, they have a hard time getting up in the morning, can't even get up, can't even give up sleeping, Prabhupada said. Very, very, so unfortunate, condemned. So it's very difficult. So he said, therefore, my Guru Maharaj's Guru Maharaj, Gaurikishore Das Babaji, he did not preach. He was disgusted. He said, I cannot reform them. I have no power to reform. Gaurikishore Das Babaji. He said, but my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was preaching. He preached and he wanted us to do the same. He was very merciful. So Srila Prabhupada is so kind, compassionate. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they're very kind and compassionate for the conditioned souls. Nobody could go to the West like Srila Prabhupada did, and lower east side, and in the midst of such degradation, unimaginable for Srila Prabhupada, and preach like he did. So now these sages, they have the same mood, the same mission. They're asking, therefore, what is the best thing? What is the essence of the scriptures? So that we can make it easy for the fallen people of the... Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll have questions now and comments. Nishingananda Prabhu, how much time do you need for your... 10:15. Okay, so we'll have about 17 minutes for... We had double. Tarshan, that's a very good question. Because one time there was a BTG article about, Balabhacharya. Balabhacharya. And someone wrote it, and they were actually, someone felt that they were, devotees were criticizing Balabhacharya because they brought up the story where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him. So then somebody got upset. Sumati Maharaji, yes, she got upset. Why are you criticizing Balabhacharya? She's from the line of Balabhacharya. She gave Prabhupada the ticket to come over on the boat, and here the devotees are criticizing her acharya. So this is, we have to be very careful, especially in writing. So what is this? This is a good question. That when can you preach forcefully and tell the truth and cut the sadhu cuts? When can you do this and when can you not do this? That is the question. So who can give me? I have an answer, but I'd like some discussion. If the audience is submissive, So these are some good standards. If the audience is submissive and has some relationship with the person, Maharaj. Okay, if the audience is not submissive and you have your facts irrefutably correct, and after the lecture they'll hang you.
No, I'm saying like rounded up in the example.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think another point is that the person who is speaking should have some authority. So that means even if he doesn't have authority, if the hearers accept the authority of the speaker, then he can also speak the truth. So there are different conditions. Nishingananda, do you have something to add? Dr. Mishra. All right, okay. Yeah, let him go to hell. Okay, so we can discuss, but our deep motivation should be that whatever we say is to bring that person closer to Krishna. We're not trying to cut them down. We're not trying. So I think sometimes also the audience will feel that. If you're just trying to put yourself as forward as an authority or like that, then they won't like it. But if you're just putting, like sometimes Prabhupada would call people mudha. Sometimes they would protest. Mudha means rascal. Prabhupada says, I'm not saying, Krishna's saying. Krishna's saying, Bhagavad Gita. Avjananti. I was thinking of the other one though. Namam duskritam. Yeah. Who does not worship me, he's mudha. Krishna. Avjananti mam mudha?
No.
Mudho yam. Yeah, there's so many mudha. So many, many times. Actually, I went through folio. And I think it was like over 3,000 times. Prabhupada used the word. No, Prabhupada in his lectures and his conversations. Yeah, Prabhupada. So mudha, yes. So sometimes this is even... But the thing is, sometimes Prabhupada would say to us that I can do this because I'm an old man. So, but you cannot. You cannot go up to the scientists and say, you know, you guys, you're mudhas. You're just all mudhas. You're demons. You know, you can't preach like that. And just like Vidura preached to Dhritarashtra, you know, your teeth are falling out, your liver is defective. You go out and try to distribute a book to some old lady, old man, won't work. You know, your hair's gray, and you know, do you know you're full of wrinkles? Yeah, they'll tell you, get lost. And so anyway, yeah, we have to see the level of the audience. The level of the person who we're preaching to. That's one point. Another point is the relationship we have with that person. And if he's not, you know, in a like a student or disciple relationship, then it'll be very difficult. Tell him the Siddhanta. It has to be gradual. And also that's an offense to explain the holy name. Very. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya, he sat down where they washed the feet. When he met Prakashananda Saraswati, he sat down in a dirty place. How humble Lord Chaitanya was to preach to the Mayavadis, yes. We should not compromise. Right. What does it mean? The question is, when you're preaching, what does it mean to compromise? What does it mean to compromise? Maharaj. You water it down so that it's no longer in the original state that you have received it. It's no longer milk. Doesn't have the potency to change the person. Then he's influencing you, and you're not influencing him. You're becoming influenced. You're getting his association. He's not getting your association. Actually, you see that. Who is actually associating with whom? Who is giving association? All right. Any other discussion on this verse? Shivindavan Prabhu. Over dependence. Overdependence on another's mercy. Yes, so what is the question? How does this sap your energy? Oh, okay. What does it mean? I think they have a word for it in modern psychology. Codependency, or I don't know if that's the same thing. Maybe not. Overdependence on another's mercy. Half the hook. What does it mean? Living on welfare. Okay. Depending on others all the time. You don't do for yourself. Paramakarma Prabhu. Yeah. Oh, Dhritarashtra, perfect. Look at him. Bhima killed his sons. Given by Bhima. Yes. So Dhritarashtra is an example of overdependence on another's mercy. Yeah, Bhishma. Could be. Not as, he wasn't like as severe as Dhritarashtra. But, yes, Prabhu, Marangopa. You become obliged. Yes, that's what happened to Bhishma. Shalya, right. Shalya. Then he became obliged to Duryodhan, and he had to join their side. Well, he was tricked, actually. He said, whoever has done this, I will certainly help them. And it was Duryodhan. He thought it was Yudhisthira. He was actually tricked by Duryodhan. Then he became obliged. Okay, anything else? Yes. How do people benefit from our sacrifice? Right, we please Krishna, right? Do we have something like that? Okay, the question is, relates to this verses, but anyway. Okay, transfer of merit. You're talking about transfer. You get some, when you perform pious activities, you get some good karma. You get some good karma. So he's seen people who are not devotees perform sacrifices for their ancestors, so they will get the merit. Now, the question is, do we have anything like that in the Vedic system? Right? And the answer is yes. We do have something like that. And Shad ceremony. Yes, yes. That's your ancestors. Cheers. Maharaj. Right. Yeah, he's asking about outside of the devotional line. Of course, we know that. If we simply... So there are many certainly it's a Vedic process, and actually anything that we see in this world is coming from the Vedas originally. All the processes, everything that we see, all the knowledge. So that's why we see parallels, different Chinese things, different things in Malaysia, different places. We see parallels with the Vedic culture. We see with the knowledge, even the medicine, natural medicine. Okay? Bettina. Shloka 11? Purport. Okay, the question is that if Prabhupada is saying Varnashram is not possible, then why is Prabhupada want to establish Varnashram in our society? Okay, so the answer is there are actually two kinds of Varnashram. There's Daivi Varnashram and there's Asurik Varnashram. One is without reference to Krishna. So he wanted to institute Daivi Varnashram, which is in reference to Krishna. And actually I just was looking through my old BTGs. There's one article by Hare Krishna Dasi where she compares all the different kinds of Varnashram to where you can research that. Does anybody have any knowledge offhand? No, okay. I'll try and find that BTG article. The sangskars are being performed. Yes, okay, this is the last comment, and then we're going to have our presentation. Don't go to Gurukul. What happens to these kids? Maharaj's question is, what happened to the parents who said, don't go to Gurukul? Okay? Yes. Well, Krishna also tests you. Like in our day, there was no question. Either you're in or you're out. But now Krishna is the greater ISKCON.